There's always a number that'll make you feel bad about yourself. You try to measure up to somebody else.
You know, those first two games, maybe even the first game, was really not the way we wanted to play. But like you said, as the series progressed, we got better and better. And I think tonight may have been our best game overall. And I think that's important in a Stanley Cup run. It's typically the team that improves the most throughout a run that typically ends up winning, I find.
Welcome back to Melnick in the Afternoon on TSN 690. I'm Mitch Gallo filling in for Mitch Melnick with John Still and Jimmy G. It's time for our first guest on this Monday. He is a hockey analyst specializing in analytics with the NHL Network and at Sport Logic. Mike Kelly, good afternoon. And Mike Kelly has hung up on us, Jimmy.
I think those are my favorite ones.
When you can actually hear the click.
It's not the one that just goes straight dead. It's just the one that goes click.
Yeah. That was
you know what it reminds me of?
That was quite awkward.
You know what it reminds me of? One of our favorite callers on the Del Mar postgame show. Hank the Tank.
Just wait. Click.
He legit cuts me off.
Yes.
So that he can hang up on me before I can hang up on him. Anyways, we'll try to connect with Mike Kelly of the NHL Network in just a second. Jimmy is trying to push all the right buttons over there. Somehow, I feel like that one isn't his fault.
That was not.
Do we have him back?
Not yet.
We do not have him back.
Oh boy.
Maybe he hasn't paid his cell phone bill.
Hey, we've all been there. We've all been there, Mitch Gallo.
But, John, we do get, that was Alex Kilorn speaking post-game, leading us in. We do get a Stanley Cup final between the Tampa Bay Lightning and the Colorado Avalanche. And if you were to ask me at the beginning of the postseason which two teams you would like to see match up, this would be very high on my list of potential finals.
There are so many interesting things that I don't know how they're going to go in this series. Like, we obviously know how mobile and how offensive the blue line can be for the Colorado Avalanche. We also know that the Tampa Bay Lightning, especially their bottom six, are so incredibly good at cycling the puck and dominating the boards. How does that work for Devontae's Cale Makar, Bowen Byram? Like, yeah, Josh Manson and Eric Johnson can handle it. Are one of those guys going to be able to step up and be able to, like you hear all the time, kill the play? Are they going to be able to do things like that? Are the Lightning going to be able to handle the fourth man in with the team or offensively that maybe they haven't seen nearly as much in the Eastern Conference that Colorado are able to do? They basically have like a rover out there. They have another forward who comes in. It's just the matchup is so interesting to me to see how this is going to go. And then the individual matchups, MacKinnon against Cirelli. Anthony Cirelli's been unbelievable in these playoffs. Some guy who just, I mean, he didn't emerge out of nowhere. He was very good for Canada at the World Juniors, and he had a spectacular junior career and all those things, but he really emerged as the two-way defensive force that he is in this postseason, again, without Braden Point. So there are so many that I'm very, very curious to see how it's going to work out when it comes to the matchup game.
We have a lot of great two-way forwards in the NHL right now, but Patrice Bergeron just won his fifth Selke trophy. I don't know how many years he has left. I mean, he might not even play next year. There's no certainty of that. He's contemplating retirement at the very least. Mm-hmm. And then you have your staples that are there. Ryan O'Reilly. Lindholm made it for the first time this year with Calgary. Mm-hmm. Sean Couturier, if he's healthy, will be in the mix. But I think there is a Selke trophy in Cirelli's future. So you're right with that matchup. The other thing to me that I find interesting is the motivation on both sides to try to win the Stanley Cup. And you might think that's crazy. Obviously, these two teams are in the finals. They are four wins away from, for many of them, fulfilling a lifelong dream.
Mm-hmm.
And for many on Tampa Bay, to really cement themselves as one of the greatest teams of all time. But for Tampa Bay, John, I can't help but wonder about the previous two cups, and if they think about their legacy and their history in the grand scheme of things and believe, all right, the first one, even though there was unique things that made it challenging to win that Stanley Cup, you had the play-in round. Things weren't necessarily as legit as they would be through an 82-game schedule and a four-round playoff format. So you had that in year one. They won the cup. And don't mistake in what I'm saying here. I'm not taking away anything from the Stanley Cups that they've captured. I just can't help but wonder if internally they say the first one was in a bubble with a play-in format. The second one, we only played our division. And, heck, the Montreal Canadiens won the Western Conference Final. I don't know how comfortable I am feeling about the way that season went down. And this is the first 82. We're going to use that as motivation to say, okay, yeah, we are going to be three-time Stanley Cup champions, but the last one is going to be the one to shut up anybody who thinks that the first two weren't legit.
I think that's part of it. I think also the beauty of what Julien Brisebois has done has brought in guys like Corey Perry that players want to win a Stanley Cup for. It's not that those players don't want to win a Stanley Cup. Like, you're not going to tell Ross Colton or Pierre-Édouard Bellemare or, I mean, go through Zach Bogosian, whoever it is, just role players on the team. They're going to want more Stanley Cups. That adds to the luster and lore of their career. But when the going gets tough and it's the 56th minute of the game and you see Corey Perry out there going down to block a shot at 30,000 years old and it's difficult for him to get up, the way that that galvanizes the rest of their team, again, an unprompted rim shot from Jimmy G, thank you. The way that that lifts and that galvanizes the rest of the group to say, yeah, we want to win one for that guy. It's that little extra. You always hear like, you got to give 110%. Well, where do you find that 10% from? I think that the Tampa Bay Lightning have been very good under Julien Brisebois and finding the right characters to go out of their way to really kind of, you know, get everyone to win one for the Gipper, as they would say. And I don't know if you've seen other teams be able to do that. Most obviously, the Toronto Maple Leafs, who it was, yeah, we'll win for one for Joe Thornton and we'll win one for Jason Spezza. And for whatever reason, that didn't work out the other way. So I think Julien Brisebois deserves a heck of a lot of credit for bringing in guys that players want to really kind of win and play for.
All right, let's try this again, John Steele. You're listening to Melnick in the Afternoon on TSN 690. It's time for our first guest from the NHL Network and Sport Logique. Mike Kelly, good afternoon.
How are you, Mitch?
I'm doing well, Mike. How are you?
Right on. I'm doing great. Looking forward to a cup final that I think, honestly, if you could handpick two teams, this is probably it, right?
Oh, 100%. John and I were talking about this a few minutes ago. Tampa Bay, Colorado, you can't really draw up a better matchup, and there's so many storylines that are intriguing to get into here. Mike, just on the surface, and I do want to touch on the New York Rangers, who I know you're very high on moving forward. Do you see areas where the two teams have specific advantages or disadvantages?
Oh, absolutely. I think defensively, Tampa has shown, and Colorado's not a bad defensive team by any means, but Tampa Bay has shown an ability to protect the lead as well as anybody. And this is the age now where multi-goal leads aren't safe anymore. And we saw a higher scoring this year, even in the playoffs, than we've seen in a long time. Look at what Tampa Bay's shown, though, what they've been able to do in the playoffs when they get a lead, third period lead. They can lock it down like nobody else. And they have an edge in goal. I mean, Pavel Francouz was fine. Darcy Kemper's healthy. He'll play. And he's been, you know, kind of average in the playoffs, which is also fine for Colorado. They don't need you'd love to have one, but they can win without having goalies steal them games because they can score so much, averaging well over four goals a game in the playoffs, best of anybody. So Tampa's got the edge, in my view, defensively and in net, and that's not insignificant. Colorado is an offensive weapon like Tampa Bay hasn't seen. So that's where it's going to be a really fascinating matchup. And, you know, how many times have we seen in the playoffs this year? But in general, game one of a series can kind of be a cluster, you know what, right? Like, these teams are trying to figure each other out. They haven't played each other yet. These two teams are out of conference. I could see this game one potentially being, you know, Colorado scores a bunch of goals and wins. We've seen Tampa start slow in series already in the playoffs. And then it'll normalize. But it's really, like, to me, I view it as, is this going to be the 80? Is Colorado going to be the 83 Oilers that played, you know, the juggernaut team, those Islander championship teams, and didn't quite have enough? Or is it going to be the 84 Oilers where, yeah, Edmonton was able to get over the hump and knock the dynasty team off?
You know, because you bring up the goaltending aspect of things, just looking at some of the numbers you posted on your Twitter account, Mike, who do you think's better, Andrei Vasilevskiy or Igor Shesterkin?
Vasilevskiy. There's more of a sample. I love Shesterkin. I mean, the guy, he's going to win the Vezina Trophy this year because he had the best year of any goalie. I still think year over year, Vasilevsky's the guy because not only is he an elite goalie, and look, someone who comes from an analytics background, I'm not going to point to wins and say that's what makes a goalie the best or not, but there's something to be said for what he's done now over and over and over again in these elimination games, which has absolutely closed the door. And I want to give a lot of credit to the Lightning's defense again. I mean, that was a clinic that they put on against the Rangers. And they allowed four or five inner slot shots in the last game. They allowed three the game before that. That helps Vasilevskiy, but that Florida closeout game, he was unbelievable. The Panthers were all over them. So to me, he's kind of the king until he isn't. And if Shesterkin can play at the level he did this year, a few more years in a row, have some playoff success as well, he'll be right there with them. But I'm still going Vasi.
Mike, not looking at the one-on-one matchups, which, again, are going to be fascinating, but I was just talking to Gallo in terms of, like, if you're looking at the Avalanche blue line dealing with the cycle game for the third and fourth lines for the Tampa Bay Lightning, something they've been so good at, or whether it's the Lightning trying to cope with the fourth man in from the blue line for the Avalanche, is there a specific matchup structurally from one of these teams in the way that they play that you're really looking forward to watching the other team kind of counter against?
Yeah, you bring up a great point. And Tampa Bay, there's a couple areas where they've really impressed, I think, is what you just mentioned, which is getting the puck in, cycling it, extending possessions. They do such a great job of moving the puck around and then shooting it with two guys on the inside. What I mean by that is two players in between kind of the hash marks, net presence, basically, right? Whether it's for a screen or a tip or a rebound, they seem to always have two guys there. And that's important in the postseason. That's a good way to generate offense when things tighten up. And Colorado, you know, their team defense-wise, I wouldn't say it's a weakness defending off the cycle, but it's not a strength in the way that it is for Tampa, how well Tampa does it. So that's going to be great. But then the flip side of that, right, is that Colorado can knock a few pucks loose, win a battle or two, get their D activated like they do as well as any team in the league, probably better. And they can race up the ice and create offense that way. So that will definitely be fascinating. You know, I was going through all the numbers and all the key metrics that I look at in evaluating a series matchup. And there's really only two areas in terms of the high-level stuff where Tampa Bay comes out ahead right now. But they're two massively important areas, inner slot shots for, inner slot shots against, winning that net front battle. Tampa's been exceptional offensively and defensively, and they're going to need to win those areas to be able to beat the Colorado Avalanche, and they're certainly capable of it, but that's what I'm looking at for Tampa is, can they continue to win the net battle against an offensive team like Colorado?
Chatting with Mike Kelly of the NHL Network and Sport Logic. Mike, just why do you think it feels like the Tampa Bay Lightning get better as a series progresses?
Whew, that's a good question, because no doubt they've started slow, right? Against Toronto after three games, the Leafs were up 2-1. I didn't think Tampa could skate with them. And they won that in seven. And that was as much as Tampa's been pushed in this postseason. So, you know, credit to the Leafs there. Florida, I mean, they allowed three goals in four games. but then you go into the Rangers series, and you know what? Like, I know they lost the first two in New York, and it was 6-2 in the first game. I thought the Rangers outplayed them in the second game. I thought the first game was kind of a classic Rangers of we're going to get a few big saves and we're going to score a few more goals than we probably should based on, you know, we got some pretty great shooting talent. I didn't think Tampa Bay got outplayed necessarily in the first one, even though the score was lopsided. And then they rattled off four wins. So why did they start slow? I mean, we could talk about the break that they had going into that Rangers series. And again, they want to play a slower tempo game than Colorado's going to want to play. And, you know, their success is heavily dependent on every single person executing a system and executing it well and executing it the entire game, like literally not missing a shift or an assignment. And maybe it just takes a couple of games to figure out how to do that to a team in the postseason. It'd be an educated guess, I suppose.
How far away do you think the New York Rangers truly are?
A little bit farther than they got this year. I'd be shocked if we saw them in game six of a conference final next year. But you know what? I think the Rangers know that. And you're right. I have been high on the Rangers. For a couple of years, really liked their young talent. Obviously, they got Kreider and Zibanejad and Panarin and good veterans as well. I know they won 50-plus games, and I know they won a couple rounds, and you can't scoff at that. But they don't defend well. And, you know, you can get by for a long time with great goaltending. They've got a great goalie, but can Shesterkin be as good as he was this year, next year? He'll be great, I'm sure. Can he be this good again? Because if he is, he's going to win the Vezina Trophy every year. And I don't think that's going to happen. So what if he dips a little bit? But it's still very good. They're going to let in more goals. And I think they know that. They're, you know, again, relying on the power play quite a bit. I love the young pieces. I love the mix of veterans. I think they're a few tweaks away from really being able to sustain this, being, you know, a team that could challenge to get to a Stanley Cup final year in, year out. I don't think they're there yet. So, but like I said, I think they know that. I'd be surprised if they run it back next year the way it is now. I think we'll make some changes to their team and try to get a little more balanced and get a little better defensively. But they to me, will be a team that we're talking about the next 2 to 6 years as a team that's always got a legit shot in the heat.
And, Mike, looking at the other side, I mean, I was kind of overseas when this entire series was going on, and the Avalanche did a good job to keep it real short, so I wasn't really able to catch a lot of it. But how much of a success do you think this year was for the Edmonton Oilers? And how do you think Ken Holland and the rest of the Oilers brass looks at their year, knowing that there are clearly some very large holes in places, but they were able to kind of string and cobble things together, obviously behind Drysdale and McDavid, to get to the Western Conference Final?
Yeah, I think you'd have to look at it as a success overall. How are we going to base that, right, on what people on the outside looking in think that they should be? And, you know, to me, I thought they'd get beat by Calgary in the second round. They didn't. They played really well. So credit to them. You know, obviously, if you ask anyone in that room, I'm sure they'd tell you we wanted to win a Stanley Cup, and that's success to us. But I was in Denver. I was in Edmonton for that series, covering it for the NHL Network, and got to talk to players on both sides. And you know, what the Avalanche were able to do was really limit the speed of Connor McDavid, Leon Draisaitl, the whole team. And you take that away from Edmonton, they're going to be in a really tough spot. And that's what happened. So I like the game the Oilers played in the fourth game a lot. But by then it was kind of too little too late. So, you know, what happens with Evander Kane? What happens in goal? You know, Mikko Koskinen's gone. I don't see how you run it back with Mike Smith. And the funny thing about Smith, I mean, yes, he's an older guy, but he made some crazy... I'm watching that series, and I'm like, man, he made 2 or 3 saves tonight and saved them a goal. No question. But then he lets in a goal at a really bad time in the game, and then maybe they lose by a goal or two. And that's kind of been, you know, a good chunk of his career. So he's not a bad goalie by any means, but I just don't see him being a guy to move forward with. So what do you do? I think they have to go out and get somebody, and that'll help. But they're, you know, they've got holes to plug. They need to get more balance in terms of how they attack and fill things in a little bit. You know, what McDavid and Draisaitl did kind of on their own, unbelievable when you think about the points they put up in 3 rounds.
Mike, thanks so much for taking the time this afternoon, and I can't wait to finally see you at baseball in July.
It's taken way too long. It's crazy. I hope we're doing okay, though. How's the squad?
I think we've won 2 games out of 7, but we'll get better once we have you on the mound.
Hey, that's a better start than last year, and I do remember we were the champs last year, so I'll do my 5 games in the regular season. I'll be there playoff time. Don't you worry.
That's the spirit. Can't wait. Thanks, Mike.
All right, see you guys.
There is Mike Kelly of the NHL Network. I'm Mitch Gallo with John Still, filling in for Mitch Melnick on Melnick in the Afternoon. John, I have to tell you something.
Do you have to?
It was. I do.
Okay.
I have a confession to make.
Oh, jeez. Did I do something wrong?
No, you didn't do something wrong.
I don't like that sound.
I said I have a confession to make. So Mike was not late, and there was no issues with his phone. I don't know if you have this, but I have a few people in my phone that have the same name. And I actually gave Jimmy the number to another Mike Kelly that I know.
Michael
Kelly.
Oh,
that's so funny.
Michael, because I got
that's terrific.
The message said Michael Kelly, but I'm pretty sure it's Mike Kelly.
That's so good. Oh, yeah. That makes me so happy.
Yeah, so...
so it was not my fault. That's
how do you know several Mike Kellys? It's so funny.
Yeah, so...
Francois Legault's not going to like that.
So the other Mike
Too
Kelly...
Too many Mike Kellys.
The other Mike Kelly sent
Michael
me a text
Kelly.
Message.
Michael
he,
Kelly.
Well, Mike is short for Michael.
I
Jimmy,
know, but his voicemail
come on,
said Michael.
Yes, but it's short. Mike is okay. Short for Michael. But he said... Mike. The other Mike Kelly sent me a message. He's like, glad you thought of me for your show. But I do not work for NHL Network, and I am not a specialist in analytics. I said, here, Jimmy, here's the
It makes it
number.
Way more hilarious that he, like, he stayed on the
I
line
said, why not fake it?
Waiting and waiting and waiting, and then he's like, click! Oh, God, this is a disaster.
Coming up next, we speak to the one and only Michael Farber.
Does it matter all that we-